Thanks for tuning in to the Secret Ingredient Podcast from Digital Sandwich, where we believe that everyone has a story behind their story, and that is where the secret ingredient lives. Unleashing the secret ingredient through a combination of personalized custom content, social media, and paid advertising is the very best way to build the relationships that you need to grow your business. With that being said, let's see what's in the kitchen and find out this week's secret ingredient.
Welcome back to the Secret Ingredient Podcast. Today's guest is Abby Peters, the Director of Operations here at Digital Sandwich Agency. She recently celebrated her third anniversary here at the Sandwich. Did you think it was going to be 3 years?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't know what was going to happen.
So, 3 years later, so why are you still here?
It's been an interesting ride.
Yeah. I can only imagine from your perspective. It's been interesting from my end, too. But yeah. I don't think the agency is where I thought it would be. And I mean, things change. But, you know, why are you here?
The best way I can describe it is sort of winning the lottery in a way. I know that sounds like braggadocious, but like, I mean, I graduated college in 2019, so I was career job hunting in 2020.
Sure.
Which is
not the best time.
A mess.
Yeah.
In my typical term, grade A chit show. But
100%.
I was in retail. I wanted out. And I remember just going on Indeed and LinkedIn and just applying. I don't even remember seeing Digital Sandwich in the names. That's how many I was just applying for on a given day. And then you reached out and were like, let's have a call. I got on a call. I remember I met my dad's house. I lived back at home.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the typical COVID thing. I've got pajama pants on, but I had a nice shirt. I think I had a blazer on.
I think you were wearing a blazer.
I was in a business fraternity. So I was like, we come presentable for the interview.
Right.
You're in a Hawaiian shirt in the messy office. And you're like, all right, this is the deal. And you're like, I'm going to try to be more professional. And I think, you know, 2 minutes in, it was an F-bomb, you said shit and all that. And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, I can maybe relax a little bit more and not be so prim and proper. And then, I don't know, we got off the call and I remember walking across the hall to my dad's because he was working at home, in his bedroom, knocked on his door. He's like, how'd that go? I was like, I don't know what just happened. But I also feel like I have to take this opportunity. I feel like there's an opportunity. I don't know. There's something that I was like, all right, let's just roll the dice and see. And then the rest is history.
Well, you know, I mean, that's kind of how it happens with our clients as well, right?
Sure.
So it's, you know, there is an immediate sort of presentation of culture. I mean, what you see is what you get, and it's either I get it or
I don't.
What in the world is going on over there? I don't even understand. Like, what just happened?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you sort of saw that. You know, we talk a whole lot back to 3 years ago, I talk a whole lot about where we're going, not necessarily where we're at, because where we're at is small. And, you know, I just started. I wasn't even kind of a year in on my own as Digital Sandwich. I knew that I needed help. At that point, I was the agency. And I had all these things in my head of that I did not want to be necessarily the face or the only face or, you know, we at that point, we still may as well have called it, you know, Adam's Marketing Company.
Adam's Show.
Yeah.
The Adam Show.
There wasn't a Digital Sandwich, even though that's what it said on the door. No one thought of it as that. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a brand. There was Adam.
With a brand name.
Yeah. And so it was really important that we start bringing people on to sort of start fulfilling this vision. And 3 years in, I mean, you're not just the director of operations. You've had a huge impact on creating that culture and implementing that vision. Talk a little bit about what that's been like.
Oh, I mean, a whirlwind. Sure. I mean, my background before this was retail.
Sure.
That's what I worked through college and stuff, high school, whatever jobs you worked. But through college was retail, and I took management jobs then and whatnot. And, you know, I had a hand in helping managing teams, but it was managing teams. I had a couple that were 100% leaders, the type of managers that I dealt with. Leaders, 100%, even mentors to a degree. But it's retail. So really, at the end of the day, they don't care about leader versus manager. It's manage it, get it done, call it a day. So to be brought into an environment where you could actually take that framework of, are you a manager or are you a leader? Well, we want you to be a leader, so let's develop that. And I mean, figuring that out and actually having the room to do that was very, I think where you've even said in the past, like I was resistant. And I don't know if I was resistant or more just like worried, like I've never done this before and I have no idea what I'm doing. Which you've even said, you don't know what you're doing either.
We're sure. I mean, some days we don't know what we're doing, and that's okay.
And that's
as long as we acknowledge it. And then, you know, with retail, there's a playbook. And everyone's following the playbook. We have a playbook, but it's more of like a roadmap of where we're trying to go. And then we're building the playbook sort of in arrears, you know. And to your point, I remember saying to you one day, hey, Abby, you got the job.
Stop proving yourself.
Yeah, you can quit interviewing. You've got the job.
I 100% still had that retail mentality. Something would go wrong and I'd be like, I don't. And you were like, I'm not firing you today. It's
not happening.
It happens. And I was like, okay. And it was like screw trauma. This all up. It took like forever to get it right.
You're going to screw this all to hell.
Sure.
That's going to happen.
Sure.
I'm aware of it. Mm-hmm. Whether you are or not, this is going to go completely sideways more than once.
Right.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
You got the job.
But I think even most, I mean, we even see it with our young team now. Most people work a certain corporate job or more playbook built job. And when you divert from a playbook, I mean, it is slap on the wrist to the 10th degree sometimes. Yeah. So being brought into an environment like ours where it's like, we'll figure it out. It's not the end of the world. When it's the end of the world, I'll let you know. And even then, we'll be fine. We'll figure it out. Most people are like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, because folks are a product of their historical context, right?
Yeah.
They that's all they have to go by is whatever their experience and context was. That's what they're going to end up going with. And it's definitely different.
It's different.
And it's continuing to evolve. I don't know that that's just a Digital Sandwich thing. I think that's a post-COVID thing. I think that's a technology and a software thing. I think that it's a different world than it was, you know, even 1 year ago, let alone 4 years ago, pre-COVID. You would have worn pants during the interview.
Sitting at home on my computer.
Correct. Yeah. Like there would have been that wasn't a thing then. It really wasn't.
Yeah.
And now you have people, you know, turning themselves into cats during court appearances. During
or court professors being potatoes.
I'm a potato. That's just that's no good. So let's dive into a little. You know, I mean, the name of the podcast is A Secret Ingredient, and you know my philosophy that I think that we all have a zone of genius. I think that we all have a special sauce or a secret ingredient that is ours to offer, and you certainly do. So we're just going to kind of dive into that. We're going to, you know, tell some stories, right? This has definitely happened in the agency more than once where talk to me about a time or tell a story where you stumbled upon sort of like a hidden gem or an opportunity that no one else was paying attention to. You're like, okay, so I see this over here. We're stepping over it. We're not paying attention to it. Tell us like what that was and then what sparked your curiosity and then what happened? Were you able to get us to see it too?
Yeah. I would say for that, it would even just be in our processes. I mean, you said it yourself when I got brought on, Digital Sandwich was not even a year old. I mean, infancy, it was just you and all that. And, I do remember like you being like, yeah, we have a process and this is how we're going to get it done and this, that, and the other, but also you could figure out your own ways to do it. So it wasn't 100% a hidden gem, but I think actually finding the proper ways to make those frameworks better and getting that organized, I was able to get it to a point. We have Nadia now who really drives it home for us.
Well, she drives something.
but I think even just in the early stages of, okay, cool, I think we should have more organization. I mean, you are 100% organized chaos or chaos organized. I don't know how else to
describe it.
It's just mess. You know what you're doing, but someone else goes in there and everyone's like, what is going on
what
here?
What is happening?
So I think
organize stuff and I can't find anything.
Even just the simplicity, it sounds so simple and mundane, but just the simplicity of that, I think just even that skyrocketed us to a different degree.
I agree
to then
with that.
Continue with all the other stuff that we needed to do. We were too busy digging around for so long. So why not stop digging around and just put it where we needed to put?
No, I totally agree with that, and I want to pull a string of something that you said was because I think some folks do struggle with having the flexibility to change the playbook, mm-hmm. right? So here's what we do. Mm-hmm. It's sort of loosey-goosey. I need it to be more rigid, and then I want to tear it apart again once it's more rigid, mm-hmm. right? Like this is why this agency is not for everybody because we are constantly in a flux of self-optimizing. Mm-hmm. And that resonates with people or it makes people crazy. And the folks that it makes crazy, I understand. Sure. I appreciate and respect and love you too.
I want it this one way.
But you can't be here. Mm-hmm. You can't be here. You're going to go crazy. I want to constantly be self-optimizing. And that's a really kind of a weird concept of, okay, well, we have the process in place. All right. Is it the right process? Well, it's our process. And I'm like, yeah, is it the right one? Should we change step four? Mm-hmm. Should we flip flop step four and six? You know, I mean, we have meetings about this.
Sure. Or, I mean, even if it's the right one now, is it the right one a day from now? Not right. even like sometimes people are like 5 years from now or whatever. Sometimes we do a process and not even a day or two later are we going, I think this is wrong. We need to fix it. But not many people will see that. It, like you said, this is the process. This is what we're doing. And we'll figure that out 5 years down the road. But it could be broken and you figure out ways to fix it in the moment. Well, why not just fix it now? Like we're the shark that always stays swimming. But the nth degree shark with a torpedo on it or something. Like we just keep going ahead or we'll die.
We do. We do. But I think that's actually sort of our superpower. Mm-hmm. I mean, folks with crazy ADHD refer to it as our superpower. Our brand may have ADHD. Like it may but we are constantly in a form of self-optimizing. Sure. I think it's one of the things that we do well. I've had multiple people refer to this before. We're sort of a process creation and mentoring company that funds itself through digital marketing.
Like pretty much.
It's kind of what we are. It's interesting. So you talk about the playbook, you talk about here's what we do. Here's the process, right? So tell me about a time that kind of foreign to how you operate, you've had to throw the damn thing out and go, well, calling an audible, we're winging this shit today, right? Which is a foreign, that's probably not terribly comfortable for you. That's not really, I live there. Sure. Right. That would make you crazy. That would make our guy Josh crazy. That makes you and Nadia crazy.
It's Nadia crazy.
Yeah. But sometimes we got to throw it the F out. Mm-hmm. Right. So talk about a time that happened and it worked out okay.
Sure.
Or maybe tell me about a time that it didn't.
It didn't. Yeah. I mean, in retail, at least, you know, you have your customer here, the customer service standards, and sometimes you did have to go off the book, but that was like this, you know, oh, I'll just make this one time exception and that'll be fine. But I think being in Digital Sandwich, I mean, you especially are constantly, here's a new tool, here's a new this, here's a new this. I mean, in the last year, we've updated different service packages and pricing on those 4 times.
At least,
probably more in all honesty, even in just small conversations. Right. So, I mean, I would say even just as we're fine tuning, not only processes, that's a big thing we do sure. for sure. But I think even finally looking back and going, okay, let's fine tune these services a bit more. We've always had those a little bit rough and we have a framework or an idea. And then, okay, here's a package we like. And now we're on to 3 other ones that are like completely different. We've thrown out the other ones. These are the 3 we like now.
Yeah.
And that'll be great for, I don't know, hopefully the next couple years, those will be effective for us. And if they aren't in the next, gosh, like I said, even day or two, we might be like, never mind, find something else. So I would say that's something that works. I would say the one example I would do want to give a couple of a time it didn't, only because I like to rub it in your face.
Sure.
I deserve it. You're 100% the visionary power through, and I'm the, to talk about 6 geniuses, the wonder, why do we need to do this? Why do we do this? Changing tools as often as we do.
Right.
I think one time it was, let's get this changed over for clients. And I was like, well, it's been a while since clients have been in this tool.
The social media tool.
Yeah. I was like, let's maybe take a month or two. And you and Nadia, actually, surprisingly, we're both like, no, let's just do it now. Let's rip the Band-Aid off and do it now. And I was like, hey, it's not going to, clients are going to hate it. And I think maybe made it a month and we were like, never mind, just go back because the clients don't understand it and don't like it. And I kind of sat there with my arms crossed and went,
It was a shit show.
I wonder who said that.
yeah. Yeah, look, I'm wrong. I am wrong a lot.
We all are.
But that's the whole point of surrounding yourself with people like you, like Nadia, like Lindsay, Mallory.
Asking the questions.
Molly is not just asking the questions, but changing my mind, mm-hmm. right? I have no problem with being wrong. I have no problem with being told that I'm wrong. I have no problem with doing something different than what my original idea was.
Sure.
I really don't, yeah. which I think people that don't know me all that well think that I'm loud and that I'm, you know, my way or the highway. That is not true.
Well, you're so visionary that you can't see outside your vision. But we've even talked about this. You're actually visionary in I'm
equally both.
You're both.
I just much prefer vision.
You just prefer vision and everyone else do the execution. Because like you said, I want it to be a brand, not just the Adam Show.
Not just me.
Because if you wanted it to be the Adam Show, you wouldn't be where you are
today.
Well,
I mean, in 3 years in, I mean, at this point, I'll just say this now. 3 years in with you, I mean, you're a huge part of the success and the growth and whatever. I mean, you're invaluable to what's happened. Mm. We would not be here had you not, I think you may think I took a chance on you 3 years ago. You took a chance on me, too.
Sure. I think we both did.
That point is not lost on me mm-hmm. at all. Yeah, I'm this lunatic, you know. Oh, I'm going to be very professional in this interview, and then I'm dropping F-bombs 2 seconds later. But that's me.
You were in for it till a few months in, and then I finally was not quiet and opened my mouth, and you're like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, what have I gotten myself into? So talk to me about an aha moment. Have you ever thought one way? This is the way, because again, you are a little bit more rigid. You thought one way, not necessarily, oh, but whatever. And then you're like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And you're like, oh.
It is.
Wait.
Yeah.
And we had that aha moment. Talk to me a little bit about if you can think of one of those.
Yeah, I would say.
I can think of one.
Well, if you can think of one after I say mine and it's wrong, go ahead. But I would say a big one, at least when it was just you and I starting out mm-hmm. and trying to figure out staffing, but also how we do our production. How do we plan out production, even as one person or two people or a team of six or seven like we do now? I remember, I mean, you were doing a lot, but it was, okay, now I finally have someone. I want to take half of this off my plate and figure that out. I'm used to the rigidity. I'm used to, here's your day. Here's the things that need done. Where with us, it was trying to figure out how do we balance what needs done, what's the most important, what needs done now, what can get done later, whatever. And I remember coming to you being like, we got to hire someone else. I can't handle all this stuff. It doesn't work. I'm too swamped. Yeah. And you were like, you're not. And I was like, you're crazy, Adam. I'm swamped. I've never done this before.
I've got so much. Fine.
And I was sitting there thinking, am I being dismissed? What is it? And then finally you're like, all right, pull out the whiteboard, pull out the marker. And we did what you called capacity math.
Yeah.
There's this many hours in the month, this many hours in the week. You work this many hours. Let's talk. Realistically, you do at the time when we did social up-purposing and the way we did it and all that. We do a lot more services now, but how long realistically as someone who has learned it, not someone just learning, but someone who has learned it, knows it and can execute it, how long does it take? I'm like, 2-3 hours for one. Okay, cool. How long for this? And then we hours, added it up in a month or in a week, you know, we have 30, 40 hours we could work. And you were like, realistically, you're working half of that.
Yeah.
But because you're trying to figure out how to manage your time and do that, it tends to get spread out because you're bouncing around, you're figuring it out. And in a month, so then do that by times four. And realistically, in a month, you're still only working half the hours that are in a month. And I'm sitting back. And then it is, you're like, well, then what am I doing with all this time? And what am I doing with all this?
I mean, that's why we time journal right? Like, where's the time going?
Right? But if you, and we do that now with a bigger staff, if you don't know how to manage your time, you don't realize you're spinning your wheels places. Yeah. But I think once you were like, you're realistically only doing so much. Now, maybe that could mean, and we talked about it further, that could mean that maybe that's just not the right process for you. Maybe you should be doing something else. But at the time being, it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
So you got to do this.
You know, maybe what may not have been obvious to you then, and probably in reflection, it'll be more obvious because you know me better now. Mm-hmm. But that exercise was just as much for me as it was for you.
Sure.
Because what I wanted to discover, I wasn't. What I knew was it shouldn't be – you should not have been at capacity.
Sure.
I wasn't saying that you weren't.
Sure.
I was saying that you shouldn't be. So what's happening here? We're either not really understanding where our time's going. Mm-hmm. We're doing something I don't even want you doing. Something's taking you way longer than I thought that it did. And if that's the case, we need to reevaluate some mm-hmm. things. I was completely open to the possibility that you were at capacity.
Sure.
I was open to that.
But let's check and see.
But that's wrong. Like, that may be true, but it's wrong, and we need to fix it. And I need to be part of that solution. That's not just, you know, go F yourself. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
So tell me about a time, you know, every idea needs a champion, mm-hmm. right? And you've talked about it before. We have all these ideas. Tell me about the time that one of those was your ideas, you know, that you had to champion something and you had to bulldoze over everybody, including me.
I would say the apprenticeship program that
we're still
working on it, still fine tuning it. But based on the experiences I've had being in a fraternity and trying to figure out how to be a young professional, and experiences with having internships, some people had more legit ones in college. I did not. Having those experiences and figuring those out. And then just going, you know, Adam, I think we should try to do that for other college students too. Especially it was kind of, I think we had only really had one or two other people on staff.
Yeah.
And as we were thinking, like, how can we get into the workforce? How can we get to the younger people? And I was like, well, we could do an internship. The colleges are always looking for legit businesses for internship programs. But, you know, how can we be better? You know, I don't want to end up like, oh, here's your internship, but we're not going to pay you. But we didn't tell you that when we interviewed you. And realistically, when you get here, we're not going to actually have anything for you to do. And you just drove here an hour for funsies.
You're going to get coffee and get my dry cleaning.
Or just sit and do your homework.
Yeah.
You're getting credits to do homework, but also paying it because you got to pay for the university to allow you to have an internship, whatever. And then there were people I knew who had pretty good internships, but it didn't turn into jobs or other opportunities. It was just like, cool, I got my credits, whatever. So how can we make that better? And I think that's where we came up with the apprenticeship, you know, like tattoo artists, HVAC, or like the trades.
Yeah,
like you're an apprentice because you have your hands in the business and
you're going to go learn the thing.
You're not only learning.
With your hands and mouth and brain and ears.
I'm not giving you a project I don't want to do. I'm giving you a project. Here's the thing. And I think I didn't necessarily have to bulldoze because you're 100% open to people's ideas and opportunities and things that could help the business grow. But I think that was one that I was like, I really, really think we should do it. And we didn't do it at first. I mean, we did.
No, you definitely championed that because it made sense to me. It was very obvious to me that, number one, you were passionate about it because you did not have a great experience. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me that something needed to change with internship and apprenticeship, whatever, because folks coming out with a marketing degree don't know how to do marketing, right? Not in the real world. They don't.
Or the marketing you do find that, like I did, was glorified MLMs or sales.
Sure, right? They're not even offering the right things, right? So, you know, so I knew that those two things were true. And then what was missing was like, well, what's in it for us? And you touched on it. That is, it gets us access to the very best talent before they actually enter the workforce. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of them are going to see the vision. Some of them aren't. Like, we have really lofty, kind of crazy goals.
Sure.
People see it or they don't. So I'm actually thankful that you kind of pushed me because I was not seeing the visionary wasn't totally
you did.
Seeing
you asked
that vision.
You asked me often. You were like, I mean, how does that benefit us? And I think even at one point I was like, what do you mean?
No, I want like, to do it.
Sure.
But what's in it for us? Like, how do I prioritize that above something else? I don't see what's in it for us.
Right.
I see it as a cost center to us.
Yeah.
Nice to do. Part of our mission, actually.
Cool.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So would you come back and do a whole episode about talking through the apprenticeship program at some point?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Cause I think that's it. That deserves its own, you know, sort of space.
Yeah.
To kind of wrap up, what do you think your secret ingredient is? I know what it is. What do you think it is?
I would say leading through example and through like actual leading. I mean, I do think that's a secret ingredient of mine, wanting to help other people and just share what I know and make them better people as well.
I would call that advocacy.
Yeah.
I think your secret ingredient is advocacy. You advocate for the agency. You advocate for the team. You advocate for me. Mm-hmm. I would say advocacy. Cool. Are you ready for the rapid fire questions?
Fire away.
We'll finish this off.
Okay.
Brussels sprouts, yes or no?
You know, yes, if it's cooked right. Otherwise, I'm like a child. I'm like, blech, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I like them fried with the dipping sauce.
There you go.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird, but I also am a night owl. I should go to bed earlier than I do, and I don't.
Oh, so you don't sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Zombie. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Coffee?
Mostly.
Innovation or tradition?
I would say, based on my environment now, innovation. I can see where I lean tradition from time to time, but I'd say mostly innovation.
One word that encapsulates your journey.
Intriguing.
That's fair. What's your favorite sandwich?
Any chicken sammy. Hot honey. It's just a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, some sort of fried chicken sandwich. Love them.
And probably from the farmer's rail.
Yes. It's great. Go get it. It's fantastic. I love it. It's delicious.
Oh, man. All right, Abby, thanks for coming on the Secret Ingredient Podcast. And that'll do it. We'll check you out next time. Thanks, Abby.
Ever feel like your marketing strategy is like throwing spaghetti at the wall? Well, at Digital Sandwich, we literally do that. Introducing the Spaghetti Session, a half-day extravaganza where we map out your entire year of marketing on the wall. No more guesswork, just strategy. We dive deep into messaging, content pillars, posting calendars, ideal customer profiles, offers, you name it. Imagine leaving with a plan so clear it sticks better than well-cooked spaghetti. So grab a fork and join us at our next spaghetti session. Digital Sandwich. We make marketing stick.